Okay, welcome. You're listening to the Krez Files podcast. It's Saturday, the 20th of February, 2015. Folks can get this podcast over at iTunes and also from our website, which is krezfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z. Lots of podcasts to go through up there and lots of news links going up each day to check out, all sorts of stuff. So go to krezfiles.com, check it out. Also over on social media, Facebook, under Krez Files as well. Things are boiling up. Thanks for listening. Okay, we are plugged in and ready to go for another day, and just been chatting with Fiona Barnett. So very interesting podcast today, Fiona. Thanks for joining me today for a chat and to go through your story and talk to me a little bit. Good to have you here.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Thanks for getting me up early Saturday.
Sorry, so I have a busy Saturday today. I know. But we'll do this again soon, whenever you have some spare time and as you get more information. That's what I like to do. As so many guests on the last couple of years that it just gets overwhelming. But I do like to just keep up with certain guests, especially with the work you're doing. The pedo hunt, pedophile hunt stuff, and the breaking news that's always coming out. It's always good to check in with a great source, which I don't really have too much. So we'll keep connecting whenever you have the time anyway to keep exposing and going through this mess, because that's what it is. But you, of course, were a victim of child sexual satanic abuse. In this country, and you've come out. I was reading about it ages ago through the mainstream media, which it has come out in the mainstream media quite a bit in some of the newspapers. Yep. That's why I contacted you and wanted to get you some information, because, you know, they spin things, sort of work things their own way, even though they do put out certain stories. They always have these sort of things in there that lead you in another direction. So it's good to connect with you personally, because anyone who listens to this show knows that Garth and I have been raving about this since we first pretty much started the show. And I was doing other podcasts, but I wanted to go into deeper stuff, sort of things that people aren't really talking about in this country, because Australia's portrayed to the world as this paradise, which it is, but you scratch below the surface a little bit and it's rotten.
And, well, it's a pedophile capital.
It's a pedophile capital of the world. Yeah, it's full of them in this country and New Zealand, but we're full of pedophiles and we want the world to know this. And you know, I'm sick of this, and I'm sick of these deviates. It goes all the way to the top, you know, through the police, through the judges, lawyers, all this stuff. Yeah, government, right down to the bottom feeders, right to the top, of course, to the Catholic Church, where Cardinal Pell's now hiding over there. They're hiding him, you see, and now he's coughing. He's sick now.
He's hiding.
Yeah, he's hiding over there in one of the toilets. But yeah, it makes me sick, and you know, it's really amazing what you're doing. And as I said before, I have some things to do today, so we'll tear through it, and we've got about 70 minutes and get through your information. But would you like to start anywhere in particular with your story? Because I know a lot of people, when I put it up on our Facebook page and stuff, it's very popular, and they all seem to know about this and your story in particular, and people have contacted me and stuff. So you're doing a great job, and we're helping in through the independent media. Our media are spineless, like we were just talking about before we started, Fiona, 60 Minutes.
The media are involved.
Yeah.
Media are complicit.
They're de-evolving, and it's and they're getting so bad and so low, and now they're starting to, this nasty attack on their own, on the people. So we have to do the job for them, and that's what
especially
we're doing.
Especially ABC. You know? ABC are heavily involved.
They are.
Decades. So they're like they're the equivalent of the BBC's role in the Jimmy Savile pedo England.
Incredible, and it's Jimmy Savile, he had high access to Buckingham Palace. He was very tight knit, one of the closest friends. You can see the old photos of him with the royal family and Prince Charles there. And interesting with his final police interview, how part of that interview was cut out on orders from Buckingham Palace.
Of course.
They do show you...
It's the royals, yeah.
Yeah, they do show you that a little bit in that new film Spotlight, which was okay, but they went through a little bit how the Boston Globe or whatever tried to cut the head off the snake of the of these deviants in the Vatican and stuff, but... It does show how powerful these people are, with the Vatican in particular, how they can just go into big US courts or world courts and just pull out any information they want hidden, you know. The power they have is amazing, but, it's amazing to think that the BBC, and as you said, the ABC and all these big news stations are covering for all of this as well, but it just seems to be, there just seems to be, Fiona, so many of these... deviates and monsters that it's spilling out, you know, like cockroaches.
I mean, I thought I knew something, and then in the last 4 months I realised I knew very little compared to what I've found out in the last 4 months, and I found out I didn't even want to know anymore. But since Bill Heffernan used parliamentary privilege to raise the topic yet again, which he's been doing, every now and then for the last 20 or so years, just the information has flooded in and my life went crazy. But basically, well, it's always been a bit crazy because of my background. But
Polish background normally from Poland?
Oh, yeah, my dad's Polish. So his so-called parents the person he thought was his father, Peter Holoszak or Holoszek, was a Nazi war criminal. He used to like killing Jews for a living in Poland, and then his mother, and I don't know, we know that that Peter Holoszak's not our grandfather because we've met the real one and we know all that, but the grandmother, I mean, it's hard to believe that she's related to us because we don't resemble her at all, but she worked for the Gestapo and she was from Lithuania. So these are the lovely people that Australia allowed into the country unvetted, Nazi war criminals, and they allowed those people into the country along with thousands of Nazi war criminals. Australia became the largest recipient of Nazi war criminals, I think, from what I observed. And, Brazil, got a few. But what you have to understand is, like, some of the elite identifiable people might have gone to Brazil and gone to work for NASA and what have you. But... Australia received the Slavics. So the vast majority of Nazi war criminals weren't German. They were Slavic. And so, the Poles, the Hungarians, etc.
Germans get a bit demonised, don't they? With the Hitler Party, but there seem to be these groups in there.
The Germans that were left in Germany were pretty okay. I had a very good German friend, a girlfriend, and look, they're lovely, and yeah, there's...
It was just these groups in there, wasn't it, in the Nazi party? Yeah, no one seems to want to talk about.
Yeah, the odd ones were hidden, but most of them, a lot of them fled. I mean, they couldn't stay there without being identified and brought to trial and et cetera. So most of them fled Germany, and a lot of them came here. So, yeah, then they anglicised their names and to hide. So you did get a number of Germans here, but, not as many as the Slavics. And so that's the community I grew up with, all those people, and as a child, and I was introduced. And my grandparents settled in the Sutherland Shire south of Sydney, and that shire just happened to contain Holsworthy Army Base, Lucas Heights nuclear reactor, which is now Ansdell something. So both of those facilities had have their underground facilities as well. They have multi-story buildings underneath them. For example, David Donovan from Independent Australia, his brother used to work at Lucas Heights, and David, I don't know, 20 years ago or something, was given a tour of the underground facility at Lucas Heights Nuclear Reactor. So, you know, it exists. And so I was, and Ingadeen Boys Home is right near, is in the area, right around, so all these places right around the corner from where my grandparents lived. And so it was, you know, I was just taken around to these various sites and I was abused. And then I was recruited into a joint Australian-USA-CIA super soldier project called the Jason Project. And, you know, that was linked to Pine Gap as well. And they were into, you know, stealing kids' genetic material for to make to enhance, you know, the capabilities of your average soldier. So
this was a random thing that you got chosen? Is it randomly, or they just take?
No, they test. They got scouts. They look out for high IQ children who certain, you know, good looking, strong, blonde children, and you know, of course, they discovered me through the Ingadeen Boys Town pedophile ring, and because head of that Ingadeen Boys Town pedophile ring was a Nazi doctor, and we know this for sure because I've got copies of his papers, his Nazi papers, and that was Leonis Petraskis, who worked at Ingadeen Medical Center and owned the business there. And he was directly linked to Anthony Kidman and John Gittinger at Holsworthy. So it's through him that, you know, I was passed on to become a human guinea pig. And if you look at some articles written by Steve McMurray on, via the McMurray Report, or you can see them on my sites. I've got fionabarnett.org and survivorsvoiceaustralia.com and Pedophiles Down Under.
School website, yeah.
Yeah, well, they're all related to me, those websites, and Steve McMurray stuff's up there as well. We've got lots of copy everywhere in case they take something down.
And you mentioned Independent Australia as well, which had your story up.
Oh, yeah. I've written a whole...
It's really good.
10 articles or something. That's when I was mainstream, hey? That's before I started talking about the crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So I after ABC Media Watch blacklisted me, they did their job, which was to threaten mainstream media. And the message they gave to mainstream media was, if you interview this person or give her credibility, this is what we'll do to you. We'll put you on Media Watch. And it worked. So after that, I had no alternative but to go to alternative media. So that's when I started talking about the real good stuff, because, you know, there's only so much the general public will tolerate. They don't want to hear about MK Ultra being in Australia, which, you know, Steve McMurray has done the research now. He's written, I don't know how many, at least half a dozen articles on it now, and there is absolutely no denying that MK Ultra came to Australia and started at Sydney University in the 60s. So there is no denying that. That's a scientific fact, and it's provable, and there's a paper trail, and there's research papers and everything. So there's no one can argue with me about that or say I'm crazy or whatever, because the evidence is staring in everyone's faces now because Steve threw it all together. So, so that's, you know, Steve went looking for evidence of what I always claimed, and he found above and beyond what he expected to find. Every time he looks somewhere, he just finds another pile of evidence to support what I was saying, including relationships between the VIP pedophiles that I named, such as Anthony Kidman, Kim Beazley Sr., Richie Benno. I mean, you know, these people supposedly aren't related in socially and all this sort of thing, and yet we found all these, you know, Steve found all these relationships between them. So, you know, through various organisations which were CIA-funded and what criminal organisations and what have you. So this is, yeah, so that's my background, and I was subjected to ritual abuse. People used to call it satanic ritual abuse, but with the success of the CIA-funded False Memory Syndrome Foundation, which is a pedophile organisation again, you know, that satanic ritual abuse, that name became quite discredited. So I like to draw a distinction between Luciferian and abuse and, you know, Satanism, so Luciferians and Satanists. Satanists are more, it's more pop culture. It's more your Anton LaVey getting dressed up for show type Hollywood look.
Yeah.
As Luciferians, they're the scary ones. They're the ones who are dressed very nicely and, you know, and go to church, Hillsong Church on Sundays, and they're dressed in very nice, smart gear, and butter wouldn't melt their mouths, and you turn your back and they'll slit your throat. So these are the dangerous ones, and so
these are tightly organised groups, obviously, that could be anywhere, our neighbourhoods, next door, everywhere.
The mafia is nothing compared to these people.
Jesus, yeah,
nothing. They are so tightly knit,
and they're slick,
extremely slick. And ASIO officers work for them. So
ASIO, yeah,
ASIO is part of it.
Yep.
So if like when I was in Sydney giving police statements on the 2nd and 3rd of November last year, I was chased around by four ASIO officers dressed up as tradies. And then there's an article, you'll see, I was sent an article and I posted it where, you know, people can call me crazy or whatever, but I had two very fine witnesses who actually, you know, testified to police about what they saw that day, and they were terrified. One was Raina Michelson, who's Dr. Michelson's very well known, and the other one was Nikki Davis, and she's well known. And Nikki had never encountered any of this sort of abuse. We like to say that she flew economy class when it comes to abuse, because she experienced clergy abuse. We joke and say, well, I flew first class. You know, it's a whole other ball game. But she now has had her eyes opened when she witnessed ASIO chasing me around the streets of Sydney. So there's an article out there now saying, admitting in the mainstream papers that ASIO were recruiting tradies. So that's
right. We put that up. Yes, yes, to spy.
Yep. And I took a photo of one of them. So
yes, hello?
Yeah.
This is incredible. What's happening? And it seems as they get more desperate. You know.
Yeah, they tried to do it clandestine like, and. People like me, this is what they're doing to many people in Australia. I'm just the one talking about it. So they're trying everything to discredit me, to take my kids, to target my kids, to, you know, we've had police just knock on the door and accuse my 10-year-old, then 10-year-old, of stealing someone's pink iPhone 4 late last year, and she'd never even seen the thing. And even though her school rang up the police station and said, hang on a minute, she was in our care during this alleged theft, and you know, they were abusive over the phone to the school principal. And luckily I've got all that as a nice evidence. And, yeah, so that they'll just try anything to discredit and destroy and target people like me. Anything to try and get us into prison or psychiatric hospitals. Nothing's worked so far on me. Nothing has worked.
Have you found any mainstream radio stations or newspapers wanting to give you a voice and a fair go, or do you find they want to interview and manipulate things?
Not since Media Watch. I was blacklisted.
Yeah.
Since ABC Media Watch, and so was Nikki Davis. She only recently was allowed to start talking about. Someone started contacting her about clergy abuse, but before that, she was the darling of the press, especially in Sydney, because she's just such a phenomenal speaker, and she was great. You know, as a witnessed. You know, and an advocate. So, they've tried. But then the big media moguls, they're the ones who are involved. Kerry Packer was a pedo. I mean, what do you expect from these families?
Yes.
You know, and they own the media. So as if they're going to give me a voice. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Yeah. No. I hadn't found anything on Kerry Packer, but obviously some things led me to just, you know, very suspicious about him. That he's one of them as well. I mean, I don't know about many of them. It's hard for me on the ground to say, you know, well, because it's so hidden, you know. What about Dick Smith, you know?
Because it's the lawyers, the media, and everyone else get together and they work together in tandem to discredit and silence people like me. For example, I did a lot of work recently on exposing the Wood Royal Commission, the content of the original New South Wales Wood Royal Commission from 20 years ago. And then that all that work was, well, you know, I did my job, and, you know, I really hope that the boys get money, but it was hijacked by a dirty Canberra lawyer who obviously works for the government and has offered them, you know, some money in exchange for, we'll just cut the VIP pedophile ring bit out of your story, and you've got a claim. So this is how they do it. You know, James Shanahan is a fantastic witness for, you know, the existence of ritual abuse in the Catholic churches and mind control in the Catholic churches. And he gives a great warning in an article that he recently wrote and gave to me to put up. And he says, don't trust lawyers. You know, don't trust lawyers. Don't trust ex-cops. These are the people that are being used to discredit people like me. There's an ex-cop going around at the moment pretending to be a, you know, child abuse whistleblower and gathering. She was gathering information off people and pretending to be someone representing me. Well, she, you know, I've got in writing where Dean Henry said that a VIP victim from King's Cross and the Wood Royal Commission type stuff. You know, his testimony never reached me, and yet, you know, it was being gathered in my name. So this is what these people are doing. Then there's a couple in Brisbane who currently people have reported to the police or currently reporting to the feds, and they are using that. They set up shop since the Royal Commission came out, and they pretend to help people to write Royal Commission submissions. But what they do is they might help the odd victim of just clergy abuse. But when it comes, they're sitting around waiting for the big fish, which are people like me, the VIP victims, and then they steal their evidence, they drug them, they rape them, you know, this sort of stuff. That's what's actually going on. This is why you don't hear about this stuff, this, you know. It's horrendous. It's horrendous. And, you know, we've all taken a big risk to try and stop all of this abuse, and you've got counsellors and, you know, the Royal Commission are well aware of the antics of these people, but what have they done? They're doing nothing. So, you know, and you've got that filthy Canberra law firm that's saying, I know Nikki Davis approached one of the lawyers and about my case, and this lawyer turned around and called me and anyone else who says they're a victim of VIP pedophiles fantasists, and that we ruin it for the real victims who are victims of Catholic clergy abuse. So we've gone from 20 years ago, you were a fantasist if you said you're abused by a Catholic priest. So now that's okay. You're a fantasist now if you say you were abused by, you know, Kerry Packer or, you know, Bob Hawke or, you know, all these people, you know, who have been named now multiple times by multiple victims.
You say Richie Benno before?
Richie Benno was one of my perpetrators, absolutely.
Yeah. The actual Richie Benno, yeah.
Richie Benno, captain of Australian cricket. Yeah. And the cricket, look, the stuff I've heard, my husband was a good cricketer and cricket fan. I'm disgusted. I won't watch cricket now. I'll be out on the TV after what I've heard about what happens in the Australian cricket team and some of the involvement of our great sporting heroes in this country. I'm sorry. Cricket's very highly linked to all of this.
The whole system. It's amazing.
You know what? You don't make it these days. There are so many good sportsmen out there and actors, people with lots of musical talent, whatever. The actual really good ones often don't make it because they won't lie on the casting couch.
Yeah, compromise.
They won't condone the, you know, the child trafficking or, you know, this sort of thing. So really, anyone who's made it to the top, I put a question mark over now. Anyone. And every single religious organisation, especially Hillsong, you know, the garb, the filth I've heard about Hillsong, that a lot of police and that are involved in, that is just child sex trafficking. I know of a victim who was trafficked from the age of 2 to 22, prostituted within the Hillsong Church by the leaders, okay, so and subjected to mind control techniques. So are you kidding me? And when I say mind control, I say torture, you know, using torture to make somebody dissociate from what's happened to them so they don't talk about it.
Yeah, that's right. We've talked about this before. I mean, what do we do? I mean, you got this whole disgusting, rotten, satanic system full of these monsters and deviants and sex offenders and pedophiles right through the industry, as we said, you know, through the entertainment industry, of course. I mean, Hollywood, that's what Hollywood does. You know, and we have Hillsong, for example. We have these lame, weak-assed, spineless human beings who are just tumbling over on their knees in a limbo state to go and join these organisations and suck up to them and attack us, the people, for trying to speak out about things.
Oh,
we have
great.
Millions of people, you know. I can't believe I see the Pope's visit to Mexico and all this, and these people, they go around and they kiss their hands, we kiss their feet. This is what human beings do. We kiss the feet of these people and they're monsters.
Well, there you've got all these radio announcers you know, recently criticising that phenomenal song by Tim Minchin. And you go on Tim Minchin's Facebook page, who wrote, you know, Cardinal Pell, Come Home. And, you know, that's an amazing song, and it's done a lot of, as a victim, it made me cry. And it really packed a punch, and it really just captured everything. And it captured the notion that you have to take a risk. Like his last line, you know, if you won't come home to face the music regarding, you know, what the Royal Commission has to ask you, George Pell, then perhaps you'll come home and frickin' sue me, you know, for writing this song. And this is what it's taken, and this is what it's taken for me. I've risked everything. I've put everything on the line to go public about this. I've risked my children. I've recently had creepy Twitters about my eldest daughter, who's extremely beautiful. I've had death threats. Nikki Davis and I have received death threats from a victim that we helped a lot and gave a very large amount of money to help and everything. Well, he was turned against us by this lawyer. So now we've received death threats via text. you know, we've and you know, this the things we've done. You know, my reputation. I mean, for me to come and talk about the Pine Gap / you know, Lucas Heights nuclear reactor super soldier program, well, that's it. That's all mainstream credibility gone out the window. But it doesn't change the fact that it's true, and it's happened. So, you know, this is what it takes, and that's what Tim Minchin sort of showed, that you have to take a bit of a risk in Australia, because Australia's defamation laws are set up by pedophiles to protect pedophiles.
Exactly.
In America, you can say what the hell you want. You know, they've got free speech. You don't have free speech in Australia.
That's exactly right.
See, it's a very socialist country, this.
Oh, my God. I don't think people overseas in the United States realize how scary Australia is.
David Cheddar is my American counterpart. He's experienced the very same thing as me. And as we said, there's a documentary being made in Hollywood now by a professional doco maker about us. And because the similarity between our stories is phenomenal. So, you know, he just turned around and he can't believe it. He says, you know, I'm not visiting Australia. No way, I'll end up in prison, he said, you know. He can't believe. He said, I thought America was bad. He said, but that's worse. It is. It's shocking, this country, and it really is a pedophile haven.
It's
been established by pedophile lawyers as such.
You know? That's true.
So, and you've got and here you've got all these people defending, right, Cardinal Pell against this Tim Minchin song and the accusation that he's scum and all this sort of thing. And then the next day you've got the newspapers have suddenly printed, well, you know, he's all along, Cardinal Pell's been under investigation for pedophilia himself. Now, I know, I've been saying that for weeks and weeks about him being a pedophile, because Dean Henry's one of his victims. Dean Henry's one of the VIP victims that Canberra lawyer ousted out of the class action, all the boys at the boys' homes that I got together and accumulated, like the Darrick boys' homes and all that sort of thing, Minda and what have you. He's a victim of the same boys' homes, but he's been, ejected from the claim because he won't stop mentioning the VIP side of things, because he was abused by all the big ones, including Cardinal Pell. So Dean Henry is a victim of Cardinal Pell, and I've been saying it for months. And lo and behold, you know, and I was attacked for it. Oh, how dare I say these things about him, you know. Oh, what about due process and all this thing? They stuck. All the Catholic apologists who are stupid enough to follow that religion turn around and they're saying, oh, you know, you should follow due process and let the legal system take care of it. And the Royal Commission doing such a good job. Oh, my, rubbish. Royal Commission has screwed this up no end, and it was by design. You know, Atkins was overheard by a whistleblower who worked for the Federal Police planning this whole Royal Commission and saying, well, we're going to bury everything. We'll just let come to light a few things so it looks like we're doing something, but basically, you know, we're going to bury all the VIP stuff. So, and that's exactly what they've done. And I wrote 2.5 years ago, I predicted, and I coined the term, sampling approach, that the Royal Commission would take a sampling approach to this problem. And so, you know, it's like they've shown, you know, let's hold an investigation, a little bit of swimming, a little bit now of a dance studio, and now we're going to talk about, you know, Salvos and the Catholics and, you know, Hillsong and, you know, a bit of this and that, but they're not really doing anything. It's all for show and to make it give the public the impression that something's being done, but I tell you what they're not touching, what the Royal Commission has not touched and will not touch. I can tell you now they will not touch this, and they've only got till next year. They have not touched the VIP pedophile ring. Okay? And they have been handed, as James Shanahan says in his article that's all over my, you know, my pages, they've been handed multiple victim statements from people who have experienced, you know, ritual abuse in Catholic churches and elsewhere. They've been handed multiple, you know, witness statements from victims who have been sexually abused and child trafficked and what have you, prostituted, by VIPs in this country, you know, top judges. Commissioner Wood has been named in Dean Henry's official Royal Commission statement that I've put up online. Commissioner Wood, who the government employed to investigate the very Sydney-based VIP pedophile ring that Commissioner Wood was involved in. I mean, go figure. This is what they didn't want to be leaked, folks. And that's why this Canberra lawyer is trying to shut it down as quick as possible.
Yeah.
You know, and I've received death threats and everything. Get this stuff off the internet is what we've received in death threats. So, you know, this is how they do it. This is their filthy, dirty tactics, because these VIP pedophiles themselves don't have the guts to come out and sue me or accuse me and say, where's your evidence, right? They haven't got the balls to do that themselves. They use all this other scum to try and tear my stuff off the internet.
Of course.
Right? And these fake now, what you've got is the UK Jimmy Savile pedophile ring hoaxed people attacking everything on social media. This is how they do it. They're paid money to sit at their computer and do that. And then the Australians, the ones that took these Wood Royal Commission boys to this new lawyer, well, her house, the Catholic Church is on her mortgage, apparently. I was told by her very good friend of 5 years. Now, so, you know, these people are on the Catholic Church payroll, folks, and their job is to look out for the big fish, for the VIP pedos, and then pedo ring victims, and then they shut them down, or they, you know, by sending them to the corrupt lawyers or, you know, or to the lawyers working for the government who want to shut this down. So this is the system, and this is how it's working. And this is why when people say, I'll give them their day in court and how dare you accuse people, follow due process, I'm sorry, but the Australian government and these various organisations like the Royal Commission and whatever, they're not following due process. They're not doing the right thing. The Royal Commission, right, there's in New South Wales, for example, the Royal Commission withheld 106 VIP files back from the Royal Commission referral team. Based at the sex crime unit, right? I think it's a Parramatta. And that's what the Parramatta police told the referral team told me, that the Royal Commission has done the wrong thing, and they haven't been for 1.5 years. The Royal Commission did not do their job, which was refer, right, the Derrick boys' homes, the VIP pedophile ring victims from King's Cross and all that sort of thing, who were rented out to. You know, they were found at the boys' homes and then handed over to be prostituted at King's Cross in these, you know, like Roger Rogerson's rent boy clubs and everything that all the prime ministers and everyone frequented. So the Royal Commission didn't hand over 106 of those cases to the Royal Commission referral team in New South Wales alone, in Sydney alone.
Crikey.
You know, so you tell me that they're doing their job and following
the
process and following their own procedures and whatever. They disgust me. They make me sick. They're a farce. You know, as a victim, they're an absolute farce. So this, you know, the police have done that. Look at this stuff to do with Pell. You know, it's come out in the papers that the Victorian police were all along have been investigating Pell for being a pedo himself.
Top secretive investigation.
How the hell did they let him leave the country?
Yeah, exactly.
You tell me how the hell the only reason the Victorian police have released that is because of Tim Minchin's song and the fact that so much international publicity is now and focuses on the Ballarat boys and what Pell did in Ballarat, okay? And that is the only reason this stuff's come out.
You're referring to the Herald Sun, aren't you?
I'm referring to the Herald Sun.
Well,
and then the other papers that have picked it up.
Rupert Murdoch newspaper.
Mm. Oh, yeah. So, you know, oh, yeah, that angel, squeaky clean guy.
Well, he's involved with the skeptics, isn't he? So that they you know, because we're working in the helping with the vaccination movement, you know, the forced vaccination happening in this country, and I've been attacked personally by these skeptic people. They're full of Freemasons and perverts and pedophiles as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they're all the same people. You know,
all the same groups.
They're paid to sit on their butts at home and sit on the internet and troll.
Troll people. Yeah, yeah. As you said, instead of come out and, yeah, I mean.
Infiltrate. Pretend to be your friend. And
it's just anything in Australia, like we're talking about, whether it's your health or it's sex, you know, abuse and all this stuff. Whenever you, you know, whenever anyone says anything, then all these trolls come out from underneath their rocks, you know. They send in the dogs.
As James Shanahan said, you know, the majority of people that surround themselves around people like me are perpetrators. You know, the vast majority. Like, I know I've got a whole bunch of Facebook friends, and I know half of them are trolls.
Yeah, exactly. Know? Yeah, they've got different profiles.
So it's just how it is.
Yeah.
It's just how it is. And then you just hope that, you know, there are ones amongst there that actually benefit from what I'm doing and that I haven't taken this risk for nothing. So
it's getting harder and harder in this country. I hope we can start to do all this work that we want to do, because it's just getting ridiculous here. It's getting so restrictive and draconian in Australia. It's not the country I grew up in.
It's only going to get worse. If you look at the anti-terror laws, it's only going to get worse. Those laws are designed to just be used against the innocent, you know, not necessarily extremists. You know, that they talk about. They're actually, soon they're going to be using those very laws against the innocent who refuse to go along with whatever their pedophile agenda is for this country.
Yeah, as I said, you're fine if you, you know, just watch TV and watch the footy and enjoy your entertainment and go to work and drink your beer and, you know, go out with your friends and don't think or think, you know, and get shoveled into an early grave, but start thinking for yourself in Australia.
If you do that, that's fine.
Exactly.
And that's what people want. They want comfort.
Well, it's a sports country, isn't it, where they've set it all up to keep people asleep.
Beer and sport, and which, you know.
Everyone's happy.
And I mean, nothing against, it's healthy.
It is.
Sport, it's great, right? But it's when sport becomes a religion.
A religion.
And when sport becomes an obsession, and when sport becomes more important than the protection of our children, that's when sport's a problem.
Oh, I see all these people up there in the football or soccer stadiums, you know, especially in Europe, just the thousands of them going crazy. I mean, why aren't they on the streets doing that for their rights?
I've attended big Premier games in England, soccer games, and because my husband's a Pom, and I've been to those games, and I saw people more passionate about that football game and willing to kill, to attack and beat up the opponent. I mean, I've never seen anything so violent in all my life. They're willing to do that, and they throw more passion and concern into that than they do fighting for the children in the Jimmy Savile ring. You know, so I've got no time. You know, and when people in the English are, they're so concerned about the rights of animals. No one gives a toss about kids over there, I can tell you now.
Yep.
And same with Australia. I mean, there are good people out there who do care, but too many, you know, they're into, let's save the whale, or let's save the frog, or let's save the, which, you know, I love nature and I don't believe in hurting animals either. But when you turn that into your cause and you put that before children, no, saving trees before children, you know what I mean? Yeah, we need trees, we need oxygen, like, first, let's stop children from being raped and, you know, kidnapped, raped and murdered and tortured. I mean, to me, that's a number one priority, and people don't have their priorities in order. They're more, look, you know, you can't work for anywhere, and my experience is that these pedophiles have infiltrated probation and parole in New South Wales and Queensland, the entire Australian Medical and Psychology Board. You know, you can't practice in Australia in an area. You will be deregistered, even as a teacher, right? They've got control over you. If you're registered as some sort of health professional or a teacher or something like that, you dare stick up for a student, a victim of a pedophile teacher or something, and they will target your registration. And there is many, many examples of that. ARPA at the moment there's, I think, a second Senate inquiry into ARPA, which is the the administration group that look after, that manage the registration of health practitioners in Australia. They're dirty, filthy, corrupt, pedophile, infiltrated organisation. If you read my articles and my experiences at Bond University, another pedophile organisation, Bond Uni, as is Sydney Uni, because I've had direct experience with those two unis, and University of Southern Cross, that's infiltrated as well. So, like, everywhere I've gone, and I've moved around Australia, and I've seen a lot, but every church I've been to, every university, which I've been to a lot, every government organisation or anywhere I've, you know, worked for, I have seen this same stuff, this same infiltration. And I tell you now, it's, you put me anywhere and I will find it very quickly. That's why I can't go to church anymore, you know. I can't stomach it anymore. As much as I'd like my kids to socialise with other kids who have morals or are taught morals, I can't stomach, you know, the fact that, you know, pedophiles just use those organisations to target children. And they're so infiltrated, and the churchgoers are so asleep. Every denomination from Seventh-day Adventist to every Protestant, Baptist, Church of Christ, you know, the independent ones, you name it, they're all infiltrated. And, yes, that's your church too, folks. Everyone thinks it's not their church. Open Brethren, everyone thinks, oh, not my church, you know, if you come to... Nah, it's your church.
It is. I mean, anyone out there who listens to this who has a child, you would have to honestly ask yourself, is there anything really that's worse? I mean, to think that human beings are doing this to their young, and they're so protected as well.
Well, they put their kids in. Oh, for example, my kid goes to a particular school, and it is affiliated with a church, with a particular denomination, and now, you know, she was on school camp, first camp I've ever let her on, and because she's in high school now, and. I went to the hairdresser while they're away on camp, and I sat there, and the woman next to me used to belong to this denomination, and she told me about, oh, well, the 14-year-old who went on camp with the church, because the church ran this sort of, you know, camping club and whatever. Oh, the 14-year-old who was impregnated whilst on church camp. And the guy was married with kids who impregnated her, the man. One of the leaders, youth leaders, and what do they do? Oh, the church just sort of pays the girl off and sets her up for life, you know. And then she told me about another one and another. It just sat there and how, oh, you know, and these nice churches, oh, they all attend swingers parties. Mm-hmm. So you've got the elders in the church all go to swingers parties.
Yeah.
I mean, what? What? I'm sorry. What plenty? And then they all want to pretend that, oh, nothing to see here. I mean, I'm sorry. Nah.
Leave your keys in the bowl, huh? Leave your keys in the bowl.
They make me vomit.
And people are going there on Sundays and praying.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, all these people, big church. And look, don't get me wrong, some very nice, genuine Christian people in these churches. But I tell you what, they're hoodwinked. And, of course, I go along and I try and say something and, oh, no one likes that. You know, so they'd rather throw me out than listen to me outing all of this. They want to sit there in their excrement. That's what they want. People want to sit there in their warm excrement, and they don't want to be disturbed from the truth, you know, by the truth. They don't want it. No one wants it. People want to believe that, oh, the media can be trusted and what they hear on, you know, 6 o'clock news is true. People want to, and that's all there is to the story. I mean, it's like, you know, I was telling you about 60 Minutes. I mean, you're asking me, oh, how's that story that 60 Minutes did this UK pedophile ring story? And it was a ready-made story. It's information. There's nothing new in the story. It's been going around forever over there. And then I was contacted by 60 Minutes because Nikki Davis put my name up to them. And 60 Minutes did to me what they did to, as I was saying, there's one of the main, and I've got this in writing, this main ritual abuse survivor and advocate in South Australia. Spoke to 60 Minutes and he said, look, I've got all the evidence. I've got, you know, I'm in contact with a lot of VIP pedophile ring victims and I've got it all. And, you know, 60 Minutes weren't interested, didn't return the call. I was asked for all the information. I sent 60 Minutes my stuff. you know, as much as I could have without having a camcorder and going back in time in my TARDIS and filming what happened to me. So I sent them all the stuff. You know, I've got Victim Services New South Wales have admitted in writing, yes, on the balance of probabilities, this did happen to Fiona. So, I mean, that's as good as I can get, folks. And my police witness statements, I sent them to them. Oh, no, turned around and just bagged me out and told everyone that I'd made, you know, that it was, fantasy again or whatever it was. I'd made it up or, you know, crazy it was lady. Unbelievable. And, oh, I didn't say crazy, just stopped short of saying that. But this is, you know, and then they wanted to, I don't know what they had in store, but I really publicised all of that about what they'd done to me and others. And then I received this really a tantrum in an email from one of the journos, just basically screaming at me, how dare you accuse 60 Minutes of blah, blah, you know, with our fine reputation in exposing child abuse. Blah, blah. No, you don't. No, I'm sorry. There are 60 Minutes staff that are directly related to the pedophile ring. And, you know, one of their previous bloody announcers is involved. His father was one of my abusers. I mean, nah. Don't believe it. And they we can link them to, you know, Australia's Secret Services and, you know, they're a propaganda machine. And like I said, all 60 Minutes were very active in creating Nicole Kidman's career. So, you know, I don't want to hear about it. Maybe 30 years ago, you know, maybe in the 80s when, you know, Ian Leslie reported on ritual abuse and Satanism in Australia and UK and all that sort of thing. You know, they were doing the right thing back then, but not since, you know.
Well, Kerry Packer owns Channel 9. So it's amazing the Anthony Kidman, because that came out so strong all over online and your websites as well. We were talking about this a while ago on this show, but it's amazing how deeply the media were able to cover up Nicole Kidman's father, and he seems like one of the big boys.
Yeah, well, the media were going to expose it. I had News of the World. Oh, not News of the World. Who were they?
Not in Australia, though, no?
Oh, yes, in Australia. They were? Oh, okay. Yeah. Woman's Day interviewed me. Jonica Bray interviewed me. And Nicole Kidman hired security guards that day to follow me around and harass me and nearly caused a car accident when we're all in the car and you know, and all this sort of thing, when we're doing a shoot down the beach and all that. Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, they see, Women's Day, they already knew about Anthony Kidman. I'm not the first one to complain about him, and I was told that by my therapist who encouraged me to make a formal complaint to the New South Wales Health Board, because Kidman was actually a registered and practicing psychologist who lectured at the UTS in Sydney, University of Technology in Sydney. And, you know, I wasn't the first person to complain, and because we couldn't believe how quickly they jumped on my notification. I thought, they don't do this. Well, I wasn't the first to complain, you know. So, they were investigating him, and he was dead within, I don't know, 6 weeks of my complaint, something like that.
You got murdered or?
I don't know. The first reports were that he committed suicide, jumped off a balcony in Singapore, off the hotel that his daughter owns or something, or son-in-law owns. That was the first reports, and they were online, and then they disappeared. And then it turned to something else. But it's interesting that Antonia Kidman's husband, who was quite young, suddenly died the same way in America when he was a bit of a health nut and jogged and whatever, I don't know. So, yeah, so what was he about to say that they bumped him off as well? I don't know.
Is it Anthony Kidman? Did he do something to get this exposure? Would it be, you know, it seems like such a tight knit boys group, if you will, and when something happens, maybe, you know, they do hang some of them out to dry, as long as they don't get the head of the snake.
He failed. The number one rule is do whatever you want, but don't get caught, and he failed.
So it's
his responsibility. I mean, Gittinger was the primary programmer who did my trauma-based mind control MK Ultra procedures, but Kidman was working under Gittinger. And Kidman, look, I've got to say, Kidman's a bit thick compared to Gittinger. Gittinger was a genius, and Kidman was not a genius. And he was just cunning and perverted and got to where he was because he was a disgusting pedo. But he just wasn't as clever as Gittinger, you know, and the weakness was in the programming was, I imagine, was due to Kidman, his That's what broke down was Kidman's side of things. And I wasn't supposed to remember or talk. And, man, I've blabbed. You know, you can't have that. So instant death sentence for someone like that. So whether or not he was told to commit suicide because he went over to America, said goodbye to Nicole, went to Singapore, said goodbye to Antonio, and then died in Singapore. And, of course, there's no autopsy because, you know, he died in Singapore. So no one will ever know
how he brainwashed as well, like
him. He was knowing.
You know, they give them signals or colours, you know?
No, there's two categories. Did he brainwash me?
No, I thought maybe some of them are as well. They're just told to, you know, given the sign and they go and they're in a building or something.
Sort of like Manchurian candidate stuff. No,
yeah.
It would have been a conscious thing.
You've done it, yeah. You've got to get that bailout.
It's like my step-grandfather, Peter Holozak, was found dead, hanged to death up the backyard. Well, Helen, his wife, told my mother that a group of men came to the house, told her to go shopping. She comes back and finds Peter hanging from the chook pen in the backyard. This is how it is. And he failed. And she said, she blamed me for his death. Said, you killed him, you killed him. And they said, Fiona wasn't even here, you know, to her. You know, Fiona wasn't even here when he died. But she insisted I killed him. What she meant was that I was responsible for his death because it was because of me that they killed him. That's what they said. That's what she meant. So, you'll die a traitor's death. You'll be hanged to death if you fail
Jeez.
Or you'll be told to commit suicide. You know, he would have known there's nowhere to run or hide. So people say, oh, do you think he just disappeared? No, he's dead.
Yeah.
I believe he's dead.
Christ. So this VIP pedophile group that we're talking about in Australia, what are we looking at here, the scope of it? How big is this?
Huge.
This is so who's funding and operating this? Is it the Catholic Church? Are we looking at
all of them.
Go to London?
All of them.
So obviously they've got a lot of money, you know?
Oh, yeah. Anybody's anybody.
I mean, is there a source is it
wealthy,
mixed?
Every very wealthy family in Australia would be involved.
Involved in it. Is there group that actually controls it or is it too big?
Yes, there's a group of about a dozen, 12 or 13 families up the top. The Rothschilds, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So they're the most powerful family in Europe, in England, that I know of.
Mm-hmm. Zionist, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean...
God, that's power, though, isn't it? Because they control all the banks.
Well, they own the banks. You know, they own the
money,
banks.
Everything.
They
control
the money. They finance the wars, both sides of wars.
Yeah. So maybe they had the Federal Reserve set up before World War II.
We know that from history. They were funding both sides of the wars.
Everything.
It's all there. The information is out there if anybody wants to find it, if they can be bothered, you know, turning off the TV remote and going looking for it.
I can't, but I really would love to do another show with you on MK Ultra and Naomi and Pine Gap as well. We've sort of gone into Pine Gap a little bit, like what the hell's going on there? Because New Zealand have a similar place as well out there. I'd love to get into what's really going on at Pine Gap.
Don't worry. Everybody's going to know pretty soon.
Yeah, I hope so.
We're hitting World War III, so you're going to see those soldiers. You're going to see what they've grown out there in Pine Gap. They've got a room out there which must be at least five stories high or something, underground base. And when they line up their soldiers under there, it looks like something out of the Death Star, or something that Hitler gathered. You know, they've got rows and rows and rows of them. But everyone will be seeing that soon. Don't worry.
So these soldiers, so they're specially bred, I guess.
They're genetically enhanced.
Yeah, hybrids, if you will. Yeah. So they're born and managed the whole way. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. It's a breeding program. I mean, and it's how is it so far fetched when that's what Hitler was working towards? So that's what the CIA is just a continuation of Nazism. And their experiments. What MKUltra is and Pine Gap and all that. It is a CIA facility where they continued Hitler's legacy and they just kept on going with their experiments that Hitler started many years ago. So you can imagine how advanced their experiments are now.
What's the plan for these super soldiers? And
World War III.
So what's basically happening now with Russia, you think? Or is it something more?
Starting. What's happening with Syria,
et cetera. So they're going to unleash them?
Eventually.
It'd be used for population control as well? Like, because I could see in Australia, you know, we're very easy to manage. I mean, we're a low population. Our cities can be coordinated off very quickly.
Oh, man, you only have to give us beer and football.
And that's it, we're done, the hot dog. Yeah.
Don't need much else.
She'll be right, mate. Yeah, on your way.
People like you and I are already targeted. Don't worry, they know where we live. They'll come after us first.
Crikeys, we've got super soldiers.
Yeah.
Jesus, yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah, their project's done. I mean, if you look at...
I think it's completed,
People don't even read Scientific America or the experiments. I mean, over 20 years ago, they bred a cow with no bones. That was in the Scientific America.
Yeah.
It was published in their own sort of science articles, science magazines. I mean, people don't understand that this has been going on for decades and decades. And it's been out there. You could go and read all the progress if anyone bothered, you know, putting down No Idea magazine and going and reading Scientific America. All this stuff was out there, you know, but people just didn't bother looking. But now they're finished. It's like CERN's Hadron Collider. I put up an article, which Facebook obviously took down, but anyway, the CERN Hadron Collider. Last year, they announced that they had found another dimension and beings within that dimension. So they've fulfilled their objective with the CERN Hadron Collider. I mean, hello, is that getting through to anybody?
No.
A whole bunch of top scientists from all various countries around the world worked on the CERN Hadron Collider, and they opened like a stargate into another dimension. Does anyone understand what that means? You know.
Yep.
So this isn't me making this stuff up. This is in the local papers. Go and read the articles. They're online.
I've put stuff as well up on the NSA over there and remote neural monitoring, which they've mastered now, and this is a method of controlling the brain.
Electronic stuff, they've mastered this. You know, right. Everybody has everybody's brain waves have, it's like a fingerprint. They've got a unique pattern, and all they have to do is locate that, and they can remotely get into your head, like it works like television. You know, they can just tap into your, you know, or picking up a radio station or something, to very oversimplify everything. They can tap into your unique brainwave patterning and
manage it.
You know, start managing it and artificially induce certain feelings of anxiety and depression, whatever, that aren't there. They're external. And, you know, they've been working on that for years. Well, they've perfected that now.
Yeah,
These are the technology. These are weapons. These are their weapons that they've been, each country's been developing. That's what the race has been, to develop all these sorts of things. And, you know, Russia's had its own. I've got a Russian sister-in-law, and, you know, Russia's were doing the same thing as what I've experienced at the hands of America and Australia. Yeah.
It's crazy. And I mean, people need to know as well that, this remote neural monitoring is being used on the streets now, but you do feel that the entire planet is going into lockdown. It's like a giant open-air prison.
It is very much a great analogy, is the film The Matrix. It always has been. Ever since I saw it, that's the analogy I used. I said it's like, you know, that film. We are living The Matrix. That's exactly what it is like.
Well, they've definitely got access to information. I mean, if anyone watches Minority Report with Tom Cruise, that was about remote neural monitoring, really, about thought crime.
Yep.
And that's what they're getting into now. So they were showing you back then in the 90s or whatever, or early 2000s, these movies. It's a warm bath scenario, isn't it, Fiona? If they didn't show us the movies, we'd probably be more suspicious. But because they show us the movies over and over and all these science fiction movies...
It's like The Sixth Day.
Yeah, it doesn't become so shocking when it happens.
I told people that they were breeding humans like that at Pound Gap. People go, you just saw that in that movie with Arnie Schwarzenegger.
That's
what Hollywood's doing. I mean, Hollywood is a huge pedophile ring.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all Hollywood is, you know. And you know, it's a propaganda machine. And they, you know, they control us through their programming, which is TV programming and movies. And, you know, that's why they're called TV programs.
Programming you.
Yeah, they're programming us, not the TV.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
And, you know, you've got... I mean, how high does it go? I was just talking to you before about the pedophile hunting parties. There's a great article that I've put everywhere.
We talked about that before as well. So
David Shooter's put up. So this is what your elite like to do, the ones who run Hollywood and Hollywood stars. And I'm just going to read a little bit, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce this, C-I-B-O-L-O. I don't know if it's Cibolo or Cibolo Creek, Cibolo, I'll call it. But anyway, I'm just going to read it. Concerning the ranch Anton Scalia was murdered at. Now, Anton Scalia is a high court, equivalent of a high court judge over in America. And he was, David Shooter said he's a Luciferian pedophile. And he was, David would rank him in the top three most sadistic pedophiles that ever raped him repeatedly when he was a kid. And his sister, I think. But anyway, concerning the ranch Anton Scalia was murdered at. So Anton was found recently murdered at a pedophile ranch is what it is. So I'm going to read this to people. So the worst person in the world found dead in Texas, rent boy ranch playground for Mick Jagger and Charlie Sheen. So others seem to be grasping the point that this ranch is way more than it seems. In fact, it is a pedophile hunting ground in every sense of the word. And I wonder how many times convicted pedophile billionaire Jeffrey Epstein has frequented the joint. So what can be said about the resort that Anton Scalia was murdered in? First, let's consider the facts of what it is and who owns it. Cibolo Creek Rent Boy Ranch is a 30,000-acre VIP resort located in West Texas, 100 miles from the Mexican border, in the Chinati Mountains. Guests arrive by private jet at the ranch's own private airport. Rooms can cost in excess of $500 per night. Guests of the ranch typically include Hollywood figures, politicians and businessmen, but only the rich. Previous guests have included Mick Jagger, Tommy Lee Jones, Randy Quaid, Dick Cheney and Charlie Sheen, all of whom have been accused by others as being pedophiles. The owners of Cibolo Creek Rent Boy Ranch is John Poindexter. He obtained the property in 1988. A third-generation Texan, Poindexter runs a Houston-based manufacturing company. Poindexter is a leader in the Order of St. Hubertus, right? So thus, the Cibolo Creek Rent Boy Ranch is often frequented by this international 17th-century hunting society, Order of St. Hubertus. This all-male order was founded in 1695 by Austrian Count Anton von Spork, actually in Bohemia, although it just recently allowed women to join their elite hunts. In 2010, 53 members of Order of St. Hubertus gathered at Cibolo Creek Rent Boy Ranch to hunt. Guests included minor royalty. The USA branch of the Order of St. Hubertus, otherwise known as American Knights, held its first ever meeting at the Bohemian Club in San Francisco. The Bohemian Club is connected to Bohemian Grove, a large property located north of San Francisco, which regularly hosts elite pedophile parties attended by international male politicians and businessmen. Both locations feature the pagan god Moloch, who was depicted as an owl. I and others, such as Fiona Barnett, who was trafficked from Australia, were taken to the Bohemian Grove as children, and we have witnessed pedophiles hunt for children amongst the Redwood Forest. Another version of the Bohemian Grove is what I believe this ranch to be, a place where rich people are able to hunt children down like animals, which is just one small aspect of their perverted and dark activities. Hunting, raping and killing children for sport is a common feature of the elite pedophile gatherings. Alleged attendees at European pedophile hunts include King Albert of Belgium, Dutch Crown Prince Alfrink Bernhard, Prince Johann Frisco of Holland and his wife Mabel Weiss-Smith. The 2010 Order of St. Hubertus hunt that took place at Cibolo Creek Rent Boy Ranch included members of the Houston chapter and a number from Mexico. It was the second time Poindexter welcomed the Houston, Mexico contingent in his ranch, and it goes on. So, you know, and it lists all these American elite, very wealthy people and socialites and whatever who went. And it said one of them, Christina Gerard, has hunted frequently in Spain with Habsburg Lothringen, and who entertained him in Houston before the ranch weekend. Now, this is, you know, this is when people hear of hunting, children hunts, such as what I witnessed in just below the Southern Shire in National Park. I mean, this is one of their main favourite pastimes, one of their main sports, is they like to hunt children. And that's what Kerry Packer did, you know. And, you know, Dean Henry still has still bears the scars today of a gunshot wound in his leg. But, you know, this is what we're dealing with, folks. These are the people who run our world.
Planet.
This is their sport, the fun they enjoy.
Could you send that through to me as well?
Yeah, sure.
You know, Fiona, yeah, they say we're all brothers and sisters, we're all human beings, we're all blood and bone, but no, we're not. We're nothing like these people. There's a difference here. Something's happening here, and we're not like these people whatsoever. Well,
in that case, right, that Scalia, that judge, he was found, David has his contacts, and the first thing he was told was that he was found dead. He'd been slit. His throat had been slit by a 13-year-old rent boy who turned on him. So obviously he didn't like how he was being raped or something and turned and slit Scalia's throat. See, and the family don't want an autopsy done. They quickly went and had his body embalmed. The family, the son of Scalia, said, oh, it's terrible, these rumours that are going around, conspiracy rumours. Well, the family don't want this coming out into the open because it's a paedophile ranch.
Of course.
People go to have sex and to murder children and have their Luciferian rituals.
That's exactly right. And, yeah, it's a absolutely massive paedophile networks in Europe, and they're also taking the young children, especially from, Russia area, all that part of Europe. And how many times have we heard all the bones being dug up on the Buckingham Palace and the Royal Gardens, you know, and it quickly gets covered over.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
kids have come out about that as well, that they've got these huge...
Everywhere. They find them in Canada. They found them in Spain.
I imagine Eastern European would be very popular with all these young blonde children.
The Nazis used to hold hunts. You used to be able to read about these things in books and whatever, but gradually the books have disappeared.
I'm sure the royals love this sport as well, bringing the children in and hunting them down. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's incredible.
Philip and the Queen are involved. I know that.
Yeah, shooting kids and molesting them as well. Yeah, it's mind blowing. It's gobsmacking. It's just.
It's if you put your hope and faith in society, you're going to be disappointed.
Absolutely.
This is society. This is who runs
it.
This
is it.
This is where the saying is, you've got to be in this world but not of it. There's no point aspiring to reach the top of the ladder within our society in any field, whether it be journalism, or acting or, the price you have to pay to be up there? No, thanks.
I guess for them, as you said, we've said when we were chatting before we started, with the casting couches and stuff, if you're going to go into the system, whether it's acting or whatever it may be, you're prepared to do this stuff with children, then you're immediately compromised and they hold that over you. And so the more you do it, I guess the higher you go up in society and the better jobs you get. Greg Hallett said that about New Zealand, all the same in Australia, everywhere, the higher up they get, we keep seeing these ministers being put around and shuffled around in different jobs and going over to the UN and everything. They're just so highly compromised, but it must be a good life for them when you toe the line and do that, it's good money, it's good lifestyle.
Bob Carr and Kim Beazley Jr. attended Bohemian Grove in, 2012 at taxpayers' expense?
Yeah, exactly. A lot of them
I'm sorry, there's only one thing that happens at Bohemian Grove.
Mm.
That's pedophile parties. That's why it's all men, and it's all related to this, what I just talked about. That's what they do. I was made to participate in dressed up as a teddy bear and, with a bunch of kids, and they played this creepy teddy bear's picnic music while they all hunted for us, in the redwood forest. I mean, that's what they do. That's the only thing. And everybody who goes to Bohemian Grove, that's what they're doing. And they all know what they're doing. They're raping and murdering people.
Mm. Ugh. Incredible stuff. Really is, Fiona. All we can say is, we keep doing what we're doing and doing the right thing,
I direct people to read James Shanahan's article.
Through to me as well, like anything you have, because I'll put fantastic. It all up with today's show. Yeah.
Let me just say, James Shanahan, right, his story appeared in The Age, the Melbourne Age, was it 10 years ago now? And there's a letter there that Cardinal Pell signed off on, recognising that, yes, James, as a child, saw priests ritually murder children on a Catholic church altar. I mean, hello. This is George Pell, who now is under investigation for himself being a pedophile, signed the letter. And the letter's there. You can see it, you know. And there's some other documents up there as well.
Well, I tried to cover over, Pell, you know, that he was protecting pedophiles when he is one himself. That's cut to the chase.
It's one himself, according to witnesses.
Absolutely.
More than Dean Henry, so, you know.
Oh, these people are killing children on altars?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an energy thing here.
The article is called A Case of Ritual Abuse and Its Meaning for Society. So that's James. And it's extremely well written.
What kind of dark force are they feeding?
Well, you know, for them, this is a spiritual belief.
I think we've been hoodwinked with the devil and stuff, you know.
James explains it very well about the religion.
It's an energy.
Mithra that underpins Catholicism. Catholicism has nothing to do with Christianity. It stems from Mithraism. So go and read James's article. It's absolutely phenomenal. You know, infant girls killed and, you know. And then there's a well-known pedophile was present during these things. So where people, you know, where they say, oh, we're fantasists and we ruin it for all the real victims, well, this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to just focus on clergy abuse and pull attention, the public's attention away from the real stuff and where all of clergy abuse and pedophilia comes from, which is Luciferian practices.
Yeah.
There's a religion that underpins pedophilia. They believe that, you know, sodomizing a child is the fountain of youth, and they believe that they're stealing the child's youth, and they believe that it pleases their pagan gods to rape and kill children. It's like what you saw the Aztecs do, you know, murdering people on an altar to please their gods. They're still into that crap. That's what they're into.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed for thousands of years.
I wonder who these gods are. I wonder who these gods are. It's a shady area. Oh,
they've got lots of different names.
What's really going on here?
Gods, Assyrian gods and the ancient Dagon and, you know, Moloch and Imhotep and all this. Depends on what they do. They have a different one that they worship for something, for depending on what ritual they're doing. You know, so Moloch will be typically a fire sacrifice. Imhotep thinks to do a surgery, you know, when they do a surgical sacrifice and whatever. So, you know, it's just, there's just so much information.
Send that through, because I'd like to turn today's podcast, there'll be a lot, all these links that I can get off you to put up for our listeners to go through and click on and go and read. I'll put it all under the podcast link. So people can have a look for themselves at all this incredible information. And I want to thank you today for your, you know, coming on to my show and giving me, myself and our listeners all this incredible information to go and mull over and see what's really going on. What's really going on. Yeah, it's it isn't pretty, that's for sure. But in no way can we ever fix it, Fiona, unless we face it.
It's, and I must say, like, the darkness that I've known to occur in secret, in the dark, is increasingly and very rapidly coming into the light. So soon
it will. Yep.
That which I witnessed occur in secret is going to shock everybody. I think it's coming. It's like in Nazi Germany when at the height of Nazism, they performed satanic rituals in the streets of Germany, openly in the day. So that is what's coming, folks.
They're going to get more desperate, yeah.
Oh, I think this is what's coming. They are trying to bring in the Fourth Reich.
Yeah.
You know. That's what they are. They're Nazis. These people running the country are Nazis. Nazi offspring. Nazi converts.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Nazism is just modern-day Luciferianism.
Yeah. How long can they hide it?
The face of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'd like to do another show with you again soon when you have some time, okay?
Sure. No worries.
And thanks for coming on today.
Thank you.